This is Jimmy Scroggins, and I'm the lead pastor of Family Church in South Florida. Welcome to the Church for the Rest of Us podcast. On our podcast, we're committed to giving you scalable ideas that you can use with the resources you have right now at your church. So welcome to Church for the Rest of Us. Hey guys, welcome back to Church for the Rest of Us. Jimmy Scroggins here, as always, with my co-host Leslie Bennett. And today we're talking more about how we're building a family of neighborhood churches. And the beauty of the neighborhood church is that the neighborhood pastor can really get to know their neighborhood. And we see the neighborhood church as the missionary outpost in that neighborhood for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see the pastor of that neighborhood church as the lead mission strategist to reach that neighborhood for Jesus Christ with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, you're going to have to get to know your neighborhood. And Leslie, today we're talking to some incredible leaders who are working really hard in their own neighborhood context.
We sure are. I'm excited about this conversation. So let's go ahead and have our guests introduce themselves. I'm going to start on this side this time with Pastor Todd, and we'll go this way.
Yeah, I'm Todd Thomas. I get to serve as the pastor at Family Church Sherbrooke and also give some leadership to all of our campus pastors.
And my name is Winter Ullman, and I am the pastor at Family Church Lake Park.
I'm Jose da Silva. For you guys to understand a little bit about my neighborhood, I serve in the neighborhood as a Hispanic neighborhood. That's the church in Spanish, 100% in Spanish. So being Family Church for the last 10 years, almost 10 years, nine and a half.
Hard to believe. Jimmy, before we get into the specifics about how we can reach our neighborhoods, can you remind our listeners about the 1% rule for reaching our communities?
Yeah, so 1% rule has been something that's kind of animated us. It keeps us from getting too proud of anything that we're able to accomplish, but it gives us an aspirational goal that's not so far out there, it's absolutely unattainable. The 1% rule is if you study your neighborhood or your city or your region, and then ask yourself, what would it take to move the needle 1% towards more saved, more churched, more baptized believers? And so, for instance, if you take the entire region of South Florida, there's about 7 million people that live down here. So if you want to move the needle 1%, that means we need to add 70,000 new believers into the kingdom of God. And it's 70,000 seems almost unattainable, perhaps, but we're not the only church in South Florida doing that. So if we break it down by neighborhood, it gives us a better idea. And again, if you live in a little town and you have 20,000 people in your town, then you can do the math and see what it takes to move the needle 1%. It also lets every church, regardless of size, have a goal, have something to shoot at. And so I think this 1% idea has really given us a way to even gauge how successful we're actually being. Because sometimes even when you're in a growing church, a lot of what's happening is consolidation, people moving from weaker churches or ineffective churches to stronger and more effective churches, but you really haven't moved the needle at all. You just may have increased your own attendance or your own budget or your own pool of volunteers, but to move the needle of lostness, that's going to require something different.
That's right. So that's what we do here at Family Church. And so as we speak to our neighborhood pastors today, let's just start. What do you love about being a neighborhood pastor? Anyone want to kick that off?
I think one of the things you learn in South Florida quickly is everything's kind of laid out as a grid. And everybody does.
It's flat.
Yeah, it's flat. They all, everybody wants to do life in that grid that they live in whatever square block they live in. So down here, you're going to have a Publix, you're going to have your pharmacy, you're going to have your ball fields, all pretty much within this box. And there's something like really encouraging and exciting as a pastor and mission, really missionary strategist for our church, that we get to like minister and go deeply in life with these people in that little box. It also helps us think about how we're going to do more of this, because instead of bigger regional mega churches, you've already heard on the podcast, if you've listened to us at all, that we're trying to actually figure out how just to keep getting into more neighborhoods and reaching more people. And in those specific neighborhoods, like Pastor Da Silva, reaching whatever heart language those people would worship in. And so there's really something powerful about that. And I'm encouraged by it.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, just one small thing that I love about being a neighborhood pastor is when we have our kind of our membership class, First Connection class, and you ask someone, where do you live? And they just point. Right? Because like you're saying, right, they're from this neighborhood. And so we're reaching the people in our neighborhood, not trying to just get them from, you know, 20, 30 miles away. So that's one thing I love.
Love to be in a neighborhood church. The one thing I was learning, because I was in the neighborhood before. It's interesting. Normally, and many years ago, long time ago, I was pastoring the church, and I have to travel to the church so far away from where I used to live. The church was not living in the community or in the neighborhood. Today, it is totally different, because you go to the supermarket and somebody, oh, this is Pastor De Silva. Or you go to the mall and you find out everybody, because the one thing I love a lot is because I'm living in the neighborhood. Mm. That's very important. So we see the people in the church we met before in the soccer field, in the supermarket. So it's a lot of things we can see, as you say, about the first connection is the people from the neighborhood.
So other than just your normal traffic patterns and running into people or interacting with people, do you do things specifically to try to reach and get to know your neighbors at your neighborhood church?
I, like Pastor Jimmy, have become a professional Little League coach.
yeah, that's right.
My kids play sports, and I realized that one of the fastest ways to build relationships with other men specifically in our little area there was to start coaching baseball, basketball with my son for his teams. It's great father-son time, but even my son, who we just baptized recently, is like actively thinking about how we're going to get the gospel to more people. Mm-hmm. And we're building relationships with these folks really intentionally. And so that's one way that I'm doing that right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. For us in Lake Park, again, Family Church Lake Park is in a town, the town of Lake Park, not the city, but the town. So it's a very town feel. And so one of the things that we can do really easily is canvas. And with canvassing, people just, they're open. Whether they accept what you want to share or not, they're open, because they know, oh, you're from that building that we see right there. It's like right on my block, you know? And so that's one way that we get to know them and they get to know us, is just by, hey, we're in the neighborhood. Can we pray for you? And most people are, a lot of people in our area are open to that.
And by canvassing, you mean you're going door to door.
Yeah, door to door.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just saying hello, can I pray for you?
Yeah. That kind of stuff. So for instance, I just got a message yesterday about one of our leaders, of one of our small group leaders. He's like, hey, we're going to go caroling,
right,
street to street. And it's just like, yeah, Lake Park is the perfect place for that, because everybody would love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is.
Good old fashioned Christmas caroling. Yeah. That's great.
It's a lot of things we do in order to reach out to our neighborhood. But thinking about that, as a church, it doesn't exist before, because you didn't have a building, right? So when you move it to the new building, talking about 9 years ago, the church has a different name. So when you look in Google, Iglesia Familiar, the one was Jug Road Baptist Church. So Iglesia Familiar does exist. You cannot even look for Christian church with this name. So how are we going to do for the community, for our neighborhood, get to know us, vice versa? So we talked to Google, and we put our name in Google, and we start asking people when they came to church, can you please do a review for us? Because type of the name would not exist. That's 9 years ago. We needed to tell the community we are here. So time passed, and if you go to Iglesia Familiar Green Acres, we're going to see today 250 people left their review right there. And they had their own experience. You're gonna read in English, in Spanish, most in Spanish, but a lot of people in English, they let the review them. 2 weeks ago, a lady sent a message to Google, and she asking about dedicating her child. She was not been in the church before. Because this coming to me, I reply, and we start talking in Google, Google message.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we had a first connection, and I saw the lady. And she brought her husband, he's a truck driver, and brought the two kids. He said, hey, Pastor De Silva, I want to introduce you my husband. He's off today, Sunday. And I say, Claudia is my assist. Claudia, this is the lady. She sent a message to Google. Thank you for Google. She's right here. And now a lot of people coming to Family Church, they come to Google and they watch the... And online before they come. So That's what the first thing we did in order to reach out our community, tell the community we are here. So Google changed everything for us.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. You know, another thing that I know one of that you guys do is you have a school there, and that gets you into a lot of homes and a lot of relationships and conversations. You wouldn't be in if all you had was a church.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So having a school there automatically makes the town say, wow, like they care about our community. And even just, it's one of the ways that we get the gospel out is through, you know, and we're working more and more towards a, you know, a classical Christian education. And so that is a testimony in our town that this church and this school is here for this town, for the betterment of this town.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's beautiful. Yeah. And I think Todd and Leslie, you guys both go to Family Church Sherbrooke. You guys have a public school that you partner with.
We partner with a school that is just down the road from our church. The interesting thing about that area is it's surrounded with some of the best schools in Palm Beach County, all A-rated, 10, you know, scale schools. And then there's one school in particular that's about a mile down the road from our church that is a small pocket of town that's primarily immigrant and refugee families. And what we realize is that school has really struggled just getting kids to learn English, getting their homework done, because these are hardworking, sometimes 2 to 3 job families. And so what we realized with the principal there is they just need a morale boost. Those teachers need encouraged. They need some folks that are just willing to come and help the school at different times. And so we've actually adopted that school as kind of a mission project for us, even though it's a public school. And sometimes there's some limitations. But what we've done is we've invited the principal and some of the teachers over. We've prayed for them in our services. We've told them that our church cares about them. We have done school supply drives for them. We have provided Christmas gifts for about 60 kids in some of those families where they're just having a really hard time. And we've brought breakfast over to the teacher's lounge, homemade stuff that folks will bring over. And we just leave a sign that says Family Church prayed for you today. And we've been doing that. And it's been a huge encouragement. In fact, there's a little dinner that our ladies are putting on, and some of the teachers and some folks involved in the community or in that school are going to come to our little community dinner that we have.
Yeah. And one of the things we try to do is we try to get every one of our neighborhood churches, even those like Winners with Schools. So we have our own Christian schools that operate in a lot of our buildings. But then we also, we want to be a good partner with the neighborhood schools that are public schools, because that's where a lot of families that we want to connect with, and teachers and administrators, that's where they operate. Now, Leslie, we heard a really neat story today about one of our churches up in Stuart and something that they've done to connect with the school.
Yeah, we thought this was a great idea. This was at Christmas time, and they invited a local coffee shop to come to the church, and they offered gift cards for teachers at their neighborhood school. So if you wanted to buy a gift card for a teacher at the neighborhood school, you could do that right there from the local coffee shop. I think they also offered free coffee. And they literally sold hundreds of gift cards, and they were able to hand those out to the teachers at their neighborhood school as a gift. And I just thought that was a brilliant idea, because for the people there, their investment was $10. And most people feel like, well, I can do $10. And so they were able to bless the neighborhood school and the neighborhood coffee shop with the $10 gift card. So I thought that was a great idea. And it kind of leads to our next question. I mean, Todd, you touched on it, but how else do you get your people to more be the church out there? So you've talked how personally you've interacted with your neighbors, with your neighborhoods. How do you motivate your congregation, your people, to get out there and be the church out there?
Like us in the Spanish community, the one thing we do, we train up people. We use the tools we have called the Three Circle. And in Spanish.
That is a great tool.
Yeah, in Spanish. So a lot of people, they go and they talk with the friends and knock the door. This is the one way you do this called canvas or evangelism. Mm-hmm. And for the Spanish community, that's the one thing we do. The other thing we do is a big event we have every year. Probably you guys know, in the United States, they have the month of October, this big event called the Hispanic Heritage, the Day of the Race, El Día de la Raza in Espanol. And we find out the city, they have one in their own version. And we decided like 10 years ago, have one in our campus in the church, because we find out to have 16 countries. And so we offered this for our community. We invited the community to come to the church. So we create a platform for the Spanish people, because Spanish people, they like to have the opportunity, platform to show the food, the culture, the language, the music. So you have some flavor in the music and the food, etc. So Every year, this event is growing. Mm-hmm. We call United Hand, Manos Unidas, 2 weeks in a row. And last October, we have over 1,500 people came into the camps. And it's a very good opportunity to have a tent so we can pray for the people. We train our people to do evangelism during the event. So it's a lot of fun. It's interesting. So Manos Unidas for us is a big deal when talking about to reach out our community.
That's good. Anybody else done any things to help your people, equip them to be the church out there?
We've also tried to train more and more people each year in the three circles and how they can enter gospel conversations easily and how they can start to bridge those gaps with their neighbors. We had a couple of our young adult small groups run a similar play to what Pastor Winter described before, but they baked cookies. They made bags of Christmas cookies one time and another time in the spring. And they went door to door in the neighborhood directly behind Family Church Sherbrooke, one of the Sherbrooke neighborhoods. And they just invited people to church, asked if they could pray for them, gave out the cookies, got into some three circles conversations. And it's everyday stuff. It's simple, but just showing them that it's possible.
That's good. Any stories, any people who've come to your church from your neighborhood that you can think of recently to share with us the kind of fruit that can happen as you go out and do these things?
We have had a bunch. There's one I'm real excited about in our student ministry. There was a kid named Luke who is a middle schooler, and he goes to school with a couple of his buddies that have never really been plugged into a church before, starts inviting them to youth group. These kids decide, because they're middle schoolers, they want to hang out with other people and they don't want to be at home on a Wednesday night, that they will go. They start coming week after week. Well, both of these young men, they repent and believe in Jesus. And their dad, who had once been connected to a church, is like, you know what? I need to get my boys back in this church. I'm going to start coming. And on Easter Sunday, we baptized both of those boys.
Wow.
And their dad is now involved in one of our men's groups. Their mom's coming around. She's thinking about what it would look like for her to engage her faith. And so that's kind of a success story. One that is not a 100% success story yet is I've got one of my neighbors in my neighborhood that I've personally been working on. Came from a very Catholic upbringing, but pretty irreligious otherwise. And Sarah and I, my wife and I had invited them to church, and they decided to pop in Easter Sunday. I didn't know they were coming. They came Easter Sunday. Well, it's like best foot forward. They have a good experience. Our team does a great job. And since that Easter, every single Sunday they're in town, they've been at church with their children. Mm. And he pulled me aside and just make these comments about, you know, I'm thinking about all this stuff. What you guys do is great. And one of the success story sides of that, even though they've not yet made a profession of faith, is at one of our neighborhood cookouts, he's talking with a bunch of guys in a circle, and he sees me and he goes, "Hey, that guy right there, Todd." And he starts using all these cuss words to describe my musicianship. It's like, "He's a pastor at that church, and my gosh, you should blankety blank, you should, and y'all should come visit. This church is like blankety blank, incredible." And he looks around the circle and goes, "Wait a second, you guys are all Jewish. You're not probably coming anyway." And so, so I thought it was pretty cool, regardless of the language.
He's an evangelist.
He was evangelizing.
He's an evangelist of some sort. Exactly.
So yeah, God's at work. It's good to see.
I'm going to piggyback on that because of the fact that you mentioned them being Jewish. So there's this family that's been going to our school, right? Their kids go to our school. They end up start coming to our church. And I had the opportunity to baptize the dad, who actually comes from a Jewish background, but gave his life to Christ. I got the opportunity to baptize him. He's, of course, you know, their community is pretty tight knit. He's got a chiropractor. And his chiropractor, they start having conversations. And so he's being the church out there. They start having conversations. Chiropractor, who's also from a Jewish background, ends up giving his life to Christ.
Wow. Right?
And so now I'm having conversations with him. And so I'm actually meeting with him this week. And we're, you know, his next step is baptism. So have some faith, man. They can. There's a revival. And you know what? He used that exact word. He said, "Hey, man, I think there's a revival going on in this Jewish, our Jewish world here." So
yeah. Well, that's incredible. I wonder what a great story.
We have a lot of stories, but the recently one, we have this thing called First Connection.
Yes.
Do you know what is First Connection, mm-hmm. Leslie?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. You heard about First Connection. We just have a First Connection. And I heard this story happened yesterday in the First Connection. the family, the Venezuela family, that's a mom and dad and three kids, one teenager, two small little kids. And I ask it, somebody asked for them how they find out the church. They say, well, we came here on Manos Unidas, the United Hand, there for the go. First time. And we're talking about a month later, they decide to come back, came to First Connection, and they start asking a question about the baptism. So I have one of the pastors going to meet with them to talking about the baptism.
There you go. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. Hey, guys, I wonder, so some of the people who are listening, they might be thinking, you know, that sounds really great. And if I had somebody on our team like Pastor Da Silva who could go reach everyone who speaks Spanish in the world and have an event with 1,500 Spanish-speaking people, I would be doing that too. If I was like Pastor Winter and I had a school, I could do the same thing. Or if I was like Pastor Todd and I had little kids, because, you know, I don't have little kids anymore. Leslie, you don't have any little kids mm-hmm. anymore. So, you know, then of course I could coach Lily. But, like, what would you say to a pastor who's just looking at his neighbor and go, I don't know how to break through. I don't know how to break in. How would you tell someone who wanted to get started? Let's start with you, Pastor Todd.
I would just pull some people together, some of your leaders together, dream up maybe an event or an opportunity that gives your church the opportunity, the way that we say it, to be the church out there, whether that's a little fall festival or a trunk or treat event, which is intentionally inviting people onto your grounds, or doing some evangelism training, whatever evangelism tool you use, whether it's the three circles or something else, and then finding a way to go out in the community and just practice together and mobilizing maybe a small group or two to go do that and just try it, see how it goes, and maybe give it a couple tries to see if it takes root. And there may be some really, really well-intentioned and strategic thinkers in your churches that have ideas already about how to do this. And I'll just get them around the table and figure out what's attainable and what your budget can sustain and give something a try.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I was going to say a similar thing. You know, God has placed each of us in our different contexts, our unique contexts. And so we've got to use what we have. And so God has placed each one of you pastors where he desires for you to be. There are, if whether it's someone on your staff or if you have no staff, you know, there are people in your congregation who have ideas. And so engage with them and begin praying on that. And I believe God can use you exactly where you are with the resources that you have right now.
I remember those days when you had a plan, you want to do this, this, and that, and you realize, wow, I don't have money. I don't have a building. I don't have anything. We're stuck here. But that's you learning about leadership. But the one thing I learned about leadership is that you start where you are and look what you have, because you have something. Everybody, you have something in your hand. So my advice for leaders and pastors and plantings is looking what you have, where you are. Starting from that, it's a lot of good stuff happen. Because you find out the stuff you didn't know you have. Because you only think about what we don't have. Mm. So when you're looking for that, you have a lot of limitations. And limitations, the financial gift, everything. So start where you are and look what you have.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good advice all three of you are giving. And I would just echo that. It's easy to look at what someone else has and think, if I had that, I could do what they're doing or better. Yes. And maybe you could, but you don't. You have what you do have. Mm-hmm. You are where God has placed you. You have the gifting that God has given you. And so I would just encourage you to say, okay, what does God want you to do in the context that you're in? And how can you be the lead missions strategist to your neighborhood, because you are the ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ in your neighborhood. It's as if St. Paul writes, God is making his appeal through you in that neighborhood. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to bless you. I hope that you will see yourself in that light. If you've forgotten that that's who you are, remember that that's who you are. If you've walked away from being that strategist, come back and re-engage, because that's why God has you where you are. Hey, it's awesome to get to talk about these things. If there's any way we can help you at Family Church, we want to do that. So feel free to reach out to us through social media or via email or other means. And I would just say at Family Church, we don't think we've arrived yet. But we are intentionally trying to make a difference, one person, one family, one neighborhood at a time. And I'm more excited than ever about trying to move the needle 1% in the neighborhoods where we have family churches. And let's try to expand the kingdom of Jesus. I hope you'll join us for our next episode as we start a series of conversations about leading through change. Not easy to do, but all of us have to do it if our churches are going to thrive. So next episode, we're going to talk about starting where you are. We've talked about that some on this episode. But for now, I'm Jimmy Scroggins signing off for Leslie Bennett, De Silva, Todd Thomas, and Winter Ullman. This has been Church for the Rest of Us. Thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. I'd love for you to check out familychurchnetwork.com to chime in on our blog or follow me on Twitter at Jimmy Scroggins. We want to connect with you and learn from you because we're in this together. We're all learning from each other. We are church for the rest of us.